This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Jim Schaller.
Welcome, Good Neighbors, to episode number 71 of the Good Neighbor Podcast, Estero. Today we have Good Neighbor Dr. Cohn from Listen Here Audiology. How are we doing today?
We are doing really well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, pleasure getting to talk to you. So let's just jump right in. Why don't you share a little bit about what you do over there?
Sure. So my practice name is Listen Here. I've been in practice for almost 20 years, but my office in Estero is about 3 years old, and I focus solely on auditory processing disorders. I am an audiologist, but I do not sell any hearing aids, so that's unusual. I'm very specialized in processing. And so what is auditory processing disorders? It's really what our brain does with what our ears hear. It really happens beyond the ears. So it's a neurological condition, and it affects the way that our brain processes auditory information. So sometimes it makes it really hard for individuals to either understand or interpret or remember sounds, especially in noisy environments. So sometimes it's kids, sometimes it's an adult. They might be switching out sounds for another sound. And, you know, this can really affect them emotionally, educationally, with their families. So that is what my focus is here. And we do evaluate and treat auditory processing disorders. We treat it with auditory therapy. And we can actually test down to 3.5 years old on up. And so for some people, the audiologist won't test below 7 years old. And for me, that's, you know, and many of us around the world, that's too late. They're already failing in school. And so early intervention is really key with these young ones.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting to detect that earlier, any detection earlier is better. Are there certain, I mean, you mentioned some of them, but are there certain signs that maybe people should be looking for that kind of address that?
Yeah, definitely. So, but definitely if they are struggling to learn to read as a child, that would be one of the signs. If they're diagnosed with dyslexia, very often what underlines dyslexia is actually not hearing the sounds properly and switching them in our head already. And then when it comes to learning the graphemes, they're switching the sounds that they're reading. So really, that is one of the biggest things. If you have a history of ear infections as a child, that could have led to an auditory processing disorder. Some of the other causes are traumatic brain injuries as adults, concussions, even COVID-19 is changing some processing, genetics, obviously, some comorbidity with autism and ADHD. And so really when we're looking at this, we're seeing, are they able to listen to the sounds properly, hear what they hear? Can they listen in noise, in background noise? Are they sensitive to loud noises? How are they remembering directions, following directions? Do they understand jokes? Do they know where a sound is coming from? If you're at one of those elevators with the 6 elevators, can you figure out where that sound came from? All of these are parts of processing, and it's super interesting, and it's just something I'm really involved in. So,
well, that's, you have to be passionate about what you're doing.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned you do this without hearing aids. Typically, people would think if you're having trouble hearing, you get a hearing aid, but you don't use those, correct?
Correct. So one of the things that we can do as an accommodation is provide like a low gain hearing aid or a microphone system. But actually what we found is that when they do go through therapy, most of the people that come in do not need a device after they leave. So we do 14 weeks of therapy typically for one of the types. There's 4 different subtypes of processing. And usually after 14 weeks, we test again, see where they're at. Sometimes we need to do another type of therapy that's 4 weeks long, or we give them a specialized app. But no, in general, most people don't need hearing aids. And if they do, and they are at my practice, I am referring them out to an audiologist that does sell hearing aids. That's not what we do here. But hearing loss, auditory processing usually happens on people that do not have a hearing loss. They have normal hearing. So it's a really big misconception. You know, if they go into the audiologist and the audiologist says, no, your hearing's fine. And then they walk away confused because they feel like they've struggled. And so the audiologists aren't doing a great job, I would say, of educating the public on auditory processing disorders. And really, they should be going to see somebody specialized like me in processing so that they could decide if they do have an auditory processing disorder and know that it's treatable and that we can help tremendously.
It's very interesting. I didn't know a lot of that. How many people does this typically affect on average?
Well, as far as school-age children, they estimate about 2 to 7% of school-age children actually have an auditory processing disorder. They're typically the kids that are really struggling at school. And so many of them aren't getting flagged for this. Instead, they go to speech therapy because maybe they're not saying the sounds properly. But really, if you cannot hear the sounds properly, you're probably not going to say them well either. Right. They're the kids that are, not able to spell words because instead of the word dad, they heard the word bad or bed or something else. So these are the kids that are having really big struggles like that. As far as adults, especially with concussions, they're seeing a lot more auditory processing disorder in that group. And that group can also be helped just as much as the younger kids. So those are the people that are like struggling with listening to their spouses or listening in noise, just can't keep up with conversations at restaurants, places like that. And one of my most interesting cases I'll share, if you don't mind, is I had a pilot who was a pilot on an airplane. He was just in a two-seater with one other person. He was actually the flight instructor, and something happened with the engine and it crashed and he survived. Part of the windshield went through his skull and he ended up surviving, but with a very, very significant auditory processing disorder. When he came to me, he couldn't hear any sounds. He could hear them, but they all sounded like the word love, actually. And as we worked together over the course of a few months, he got to the point where he was able to conduct full conversations without any closed captioning. We could add on noise in the background and he could have a full conversation. It's just what amazing how the brain can recover, the neuroplasticity of the brain, and what we can do with therapy.
So a lot of it's just retraining the brain and kind of, growing. Interesting.
Yes. Yes.
So we've all been through some types of hardships or challenges along our journey. Is there something that maybe happened along your journey that you can look back now and say, I'm better because I went through that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of what I do now is because of my son. My son was born a little bit early, but as he developed, we realized that he was autistic. And a lot of overlap with auditory processing is with autism. A lot of people that are autistic have difficulties with listening in a lot of noise, listening to noise. The noise really affects them. The processing sometimes is affected. And also tonal processing with understanding joke telling and kind of pragmatics. And so I think that that's helped me understand a lot about the population. Although everyone who is autistic is an individual and they're all very different, I do work with a lot of autistic kids and people in my practice. And, we can still support them and help in a lot of ways so they're not struggling so much to keep up with conversations. And so noise isn't affecting them so much. They don't have to run out of the room if there's a fire alarm or something that goes off. So I think that's part of where my passion comes from, and understanding and speaking to other parents and supporting them and advocating for them.
And it makes a difference when you're personally going through it. You can share your stories and where you've come and where you've gotten to. Are there other stories similar to that that you can share with us?
I mean, every day I have stories that come in here. We see a lot of kids with dyslexia, and some of the biggest dyslexia cases, they come to me without being able to read anything. They can't even identify a letter on the page. And by the time they leave, sometimes they're even more advanced than their peers. We catch them up and we go plus. And so these changes happen very, very quickly. Like I said, typical typically we do 14 weeks and then we reassess. And very often we do not have to see them again. We get to dismiss them. And the schools are happier. Parents are happy. The kids are happier. They tend to just get a calm over them. I do want to talk about something about ADHD, if you don't mind. ADHD is split into two categories. There's an impulsivity category and an inattention category. And one of the tests that we do here at my practice is an auditory continuous performance test. This is an abbreviated an ACPT. It's a 10-minute task where we can see how long they're able to maintain auditory attention and whether they're accidentally doing more impulsive things or inattentive responses. So they have to actually raise their hand every time they hear the word dog. And there's lots of words throughout this test. And if they don't respond enough to the word dog, then that's considered an inattentive behavior. But if they respond to other words that are not the word dog and keep raising their hand more often, that's considered more impulsive. And the interesting thing about the Buffalo model therapy that I do here, which is the 14-week program, after that, even though they had significant results in impulsivity, after we retest them after 14 weeks, that's become in the normal range for so many of my patients. So right now we're in the middle of writing a research paper on this. And what I believe is that a lot of inattention types of ADHD are actually what we're seeing are processing delays. And so they're not able to keep up and they are kind of sitting there lost. And so we don't see much of an improvement with the impulsive behaviors, but as far as the inattention, if there's somebody listening out there who knows somebody that, you know, this might ring a bell to them that it's more an inattentive type, I would get their auditory processing checked because it very well could be APD instead.
Interesting study and connection there. So yeah. Is there something else that maybe our listeners should know about Listen Here that maybe they don't know?
Well, one of the biggest things is that we can evaluate and do therapy online. And so we are actually licensed in many, many states, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Alaska, and we're about to be licensed in about four other states as well pretty soon within the next month. So if you have a child, a grandchild, a partner, a friend that might listen in one of those states and want to send this podcast to, and this might help them also because we can do treatment and do therapy through Zoom. So it's really amazing.
Interesting. Yes. And awareness is the big key. You know, people don't know their options until they become aware of them.
Exactly.
So how would our listeners go about getting a hold of you if they come across somebody, maybe their child or friend or, you know, anybody you mentioned?
I have a phone number. My number you can call is 239-273-2942. We have a website, www.listenhear.net. You can also email me at Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, at listenhear.net. I conduct TikToks and I have a Facebook group. All can be found at @listenhere _APD or @listenhere.APD. That's some ways to learn some more about auditory processing disorder.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure getting to know you and understand this a little bit more. Is there any last words for our listeners?
No, I just really thank you for helping educate the public on something that's not well known.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's about awareness. And if we can help get the word out, then that's what we're trying to do. Thank you for coming by today. And we'll see you out in the neighborhood soon.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, Astera. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnpastero.com. That's gnpastero.com. Or call 239-296-2621.